morning, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Shenanigans podcast. It's Tuesday, November 7th, 2017, and it's about 7:45 here in the morning in Honolulu, and I have a few notes for everybody. So, first of all, I was aiming on to make this a weekly show. However, I'm going in for major surgery next week, so we'll have to see how that pans out for me, because there's a chance I might not actually be able to speak next week. I don't know how that's all going to work, but we'll see how it goes. In the meantime, I'll probably try to put extra episodes up or schedule them. Number two, I am not done discussing assault and harassment, so brace yourselves. Number three, I have not forgotten about the article that I promised to share with you last week. I have it for you today, so I will be discussing that later in the show. And number four, I'm going to personally need to address some people. I guess really this is for the Palawan community, but I need to talk about slut shaming, revenge porn, people's personal contributions to rape culture, and other horrifying nonsense, because apparently this is something we need to discuss. So that said, enjoy this next musical interlude, and I'll be back in a bit for the rest of the show. About a year and a half ago, I posted a survey directed towards Palawan women, either living in Palau or abroad, about sexual harassment in the Palawan community, whether it's a Palawan community, you know, in the States or wherever, or back home. So just to go over who responded to this, the age range, well, number one, we had nearly 100 respondents. The age range was between 18 to actually over 50. It was a pretty wide range, but roughly 40% were between the ages of 22 and 25, followed by 27% between the ages of 31 to 39. Roughly half of the respondents lived in Palau, while the other half lived abroad. Of those who did live abroad, 19% had been gone for about 3 to 5 years, followed by 17% who had been gone for 6 to 9 years, and another 17% who had been gone 10 to 14 years. And that's of the ones who lived outside. We did have maybe 7% who said they've been away for about 20 years or more. Of the respondents, 34% of them were married, followed by 24% of them who were single. 23% are in a committed relationship. Others were engaged, dating casually, divorced, separated. And there was the option for those who just didn't want to disclose their relationship status, and that's fine. So that's to give you a brief overview of the women who responded to this. And this was nearly 100 respondents who answered the survey. So thank you to everyone who did answer it. We will be putting out a follow-up survey and also a survey for men through Meride Media, because the data we're using for this isn't necessarily, I mean, the intent wasn't to use it for my podcast, but it's actually to kind of gauge the discussion. How to have the discussion, how to frame the discussion, who to direct the discussion towards. So that's to give you just some insight into that. Now, I'm not going to go over every single answer that was given on the survey, just because that would take forever. However, I will go over some of the alarming answers, the majority answers. I will be putting out infographics based on this in the coming days, hopefully. So if you do want more information, I will be providing that online. However, in the meantime, one of the first questions I asked was, what is your definition of sexual harassment? And this respondents had the option to answer multiple times with different things. So the most overwhelming response was any behavior that is unwanted by a woman and makes her uncomfortable. And that was like 94%. Like, that was almost across the board. Everyone was like, yes, this. Followed by 57%, which said asserting your power by intruding into someone's private territory. I also asked in Palau, or your local Palauan community, how frequently would you say sexual harassment of women by Palauan men occurs? For the most part, it was between, yes, the incidents are common, which was 27%, and yes, there are incidents, 29%. Do you feel that sexual harassment of women by Palauan men is an issue of concern? 48%, or 40, well, closer to 49% said, yes, it concerns me, it's something I think about. And 42% said, yes, this concerns me very deeply. Next off, I asked, please rate with frequency if any of the following have occurred to you in Palau or within your Palauan community. Mind you, this question is directed towards them in terms of things that have happened to them. The most common was probably staring and leering, which roughly 40% of women said is common. In terms of, that's also, so I arranged it so people could answer never, rare, occasional, common, or frequently. And in terms of frequently, the most answers came to staring and leering, which was about 18%, and then whistling or like yarao type things that came to 33% under frequently. Common, staring, leering, whistling, catcalling, passing lewd, sexually explicit remarks about someone's looks or bodies, that was actually a common. Winking was common. Snickering and laughing disrespectfully was considered common. I was a little alarmed to see that touching or itching his private parts publicly with an intention to make one uncomfortable was considered an occasional thing, like people have seen this. And I had about 11% say pushing against you, rubbing your body in public or private places, like uncomfortable physical contact by the person. That got 11% under common. That should be alarming to anyone or everyone. But that was a pretty major thing. And then we get into the part where I asked people to include incidents of harassment they encountered if they were comfortable. And as promised, I won't be naming any names. In fact, I won't even be reading these verbatim. I'll just be going over some of the things that were brought up. So for just, again, I'm not going over all these answers one by one, but going over some of the responses of stories, incidents shared with the survey. It ranges from people having conversations and thinking this is a, you know, friendly conversation. You're just discussing business, you're discussing whatever topic you're discussing, and then the conversation takes a turn. Either when someone changes the topic or turns it to, are you single? Are you seeing someone? Which is completely out of context of everything. Or even physical changes, whether they put their hand on someone's back, hand on someone's arm, leg, thinking that that's allowed necessarily. It ranges from that to someone being groped by men as a young child. Or, I mean, we even have respondents who were very frank in saying they had been molested, they had been assaulted, they've been solicited for sex, they've been held hostage in situations where it was either a distasteful conversation or they were just physically made to feel uncomfortable. These are answers from Palauan women regarding incidents between them and Palauan men. please keep that in mind. These are things everyone should be alarmed by. Again, this is not necessarily a representative, like, this isn't a super scientific survey, basically. However, it's the people who saw the survey and chose to respond to it, and that any of these responses were provided where women were put in these situations, women felt this way, this should be alarming to people. And yet somehow it's not always. And so I really wanted to bring that up because I'll be putting out follow-up surveys. For the people who think that harassment, assault is blown out of proportion, they don't necessarily understand why I keep bringing it up. I keep bringing it up because it keeps happening to people. And maybe for some people, I mean, obviously, for the most part, the men who are participating in these things, who are doing these things, don't give really any second thought to it. However, the feelings around these incidents, the trauma that comes with it, this sticks with the people for a very long time. So that it's happening to anyone is worth noting, but that it's happening at the frequency that it is happening and the stories that were submitted, this should be fucking alarming to people. And if it's not, think on that for a bit, and I'd love to hear why this is not alarming.
I am seriously so f-ing tired of being responsible for not getting raped.
I only wear one headphone because I need to be alert at all times when I'm walking.
I avoid eye contact on a daily basis.
I feel obliged to have to wrap my hijab the more traditional way just so that men will not bother me.
Had eye gougers on my keys for 10 years. I also sometimes choose accessories like this.
I have walked past my home if I feel like somebody is following me and I don't want them to know which apartment building is mine.
I'm very, very unnerved walking to my car by myself.
Never walk alone at night. Never walk down an alleyway. Never run upstairs if you're being chased because then you can get trapped. Hey, here's some nail polish that'll help you identify date rape drugs.
Going outside, checking the mail, going back inside, going to Starbucks, going to the gym. These are all normal things that no human being should be afraid to do.
Did you know that wearing a ponytail makes you easier to, like, attack because they can pull it? Like, I know these things because I have to know these things.
As a woman, I should be able to do whatever I like and feel comfortable.
You know what would be better? If we just taught young boys that rape isn't even an option.
So I made a big deal about an article that came out. Now, the article doesn't pertain directly to Palau. This is a story that came out in Samoa. However, I think across the board for islanders, but I mean, I personally can speak towards Palauans on this one. The judge in the case made a very, very, very valid point. So this story came out, it was published October 30th, 2017. The heading is Justice Fui Rules in Horrific Sex Abuse and Incest Hearing. I just took a few notes off of this that I wanted to bring up. So, the case starts with the Supreme Court has jailed a man for 21 years, and this is after he was found guilty of raping his own biological daughter. The defendant pled guilty to one count of rape and 11 counts of incest. When this was happening, this started for her in about 2009, he told her not to tell anyone about what had happened, but especially her brothers. At the time, she had no mother figure in her life. Her mother had passed away some years earlier. So based on what I read from the case, this became a regular occurrence. In 2009, 2010, basically the defendant, the father, would come home drunk late and he would rape his daughter. And an important note that's made in the article, and this applies, I mean, to all of us, that this sort of behavior is culturally unacceptable as well as illegal. Everybody knows what this is called. Everybody knows what it means. It's contrary to the laws and to what they stand for as a people. That's outside of their cultural norms. But the biggest thing I wanted to bring up is actually, and I'm going to read this because this is the judge's own words. It is also deeply disturbing that such abuse was apparently tolerated by the family of this young girl for so long. They seem to be more concerned with their own reputation, but not the welfare and well-being of the victim or the children who are being brought into this world as a result of the rape. Mind you, quick note, she'd given birth to several children. She'd given birth to three, and she had, I believe, a fourth child aborted. And these are from being raped by her own father. But back to what the judge was saying, if incest is to be eradicated in our community, this culture of silence must end. If those who know of such things do not speak, who then speaks for those too afraid, too ashamed, too humiliated to speak for themselves? It is often said that for evil to flourish, it is only sufficient that good men do nothing. This is a classic case of that kind, of perverse behavior being permitted to continue while a whole family stood by silently. And I'm bringing this up because I think we all understand, at least in the Palawan community, that the culture of silence around sexual assault, sexual harassment is huge. We don't talk about things because it's uncomfortable. We don't talk about things because it's inappropriate. We don't talk about things out of fear of offending people and their families, or out of fear of how it will affect our reputations and our family names. And I, for one, will not be party to any of that nonsense, because I don't believe anyone's safety or security should ever be taken over by reputation. Like, nobody's reputation, nobody's name is more important than someone's safety or security. But that's my take on it. And if you have an opposing view, I would love to hear about it from you. And I'd like to know why. I need to take a moment to discuss revenge porn and rape culture real quick. If you don't know what revenge porn is, revenge porn is the publication of explicit material that portrays someone who has not consented for that image or video to be shared. 38 states in the United States, as well as Washington, D.C., do have revenge porn laws on their books. So, for instance, here in Hawaii, it's a violation of privacy in the first degree. That's a Class C felony. In Oregon, unlawful dissemination of an intimate image can be either a Class A misdemeanor or a Class C felony. In Washington, wrongful distribution of intimate images. Utah, distribution of intimate images. California, disorderly conduct. It falls under different things, but please note that in 38 states in the United States of America and Washington, D.C., revenge porn is fucking illegal. So that said, contributing to revenge porn, whether you're the person disseminating the images or film, or you're the person receiving them, laughing about them, talking about them, that contributes to rape culture. It is my personal opinion, and mind you, this is just my personal opinion, that's the perk to having my own podcast. Consenting adults who want to take photos of themselves or have videos of themselves, that's fine. I mean, it doesn't have to be something I do. It doesn't have to be something I want to do. But as a grown consenting adult, a legal adult who is competent, if you want to do that, that's on you. That's your business. If images or videos were taken of you and you were not aware, that's a fucking crime. If you are a person disseminating images, whether or not it was consented, like they consented to the video, if they did not consent to you distributing these things, that is a crime. And one of the downsides to being from a small community is that for the most part, you can usually trace who did shit. And if not to the very root, you can at least know who has contributed to it. So for those people, you contribute to rape culture and you are being trash. Like, there's no other way around saying that. Like, what you are doing by definition is not only illegal, but ngikyong. I'm noticing that, like, the people who, like, ask about these things, the people who want to know, the people who are like, oh my gosh, did you know this is going on, are usually the same people who are, like, the first ones to jump on the rest in peace train, or the ones who'll stand on the side of the road and be like, rape is bad. No, that's trash. You're trash. Like, if you participate in revenge porn, you as a human being are trash. That's all. Literally, that is all. I don't have anything to say about it beyond that, except that if you participate in this, you are trash. The end. And that's all I had to say about that. So thank you again for tuning in to the Shenanigans podcast. I realized this ended up being a lot longer of an episode than I'd intended, but you know, when there are issues that need to be brought up, I don't generally have qualms about bringing them up. And I realize that this can be uncomfortable stuff for people to talk about, which is why I do it. When we get to the point where people can discuss these things freely and openly, that people can discuss this without necessarily feeling like they're doing something wrong, then I probably won't need to do this. In the meantime, I will probably just keep bringing up stuff that's uncomfortable, because that's kind of what I do, I guess. I don't know. I look forward to the day where we can get to the point of policy making, where we can take action in regards to some of the more sensitive issues that we discuss on the podcast, because you can't really deal with any topic. You can't take action. You can't make progress if you can't discuss it frankly and openly. So I guess I'm just obnoxious that I'm willing to do that. Maybe somewhere out there someone heard this and they would like to take action. Maybe somewhere out there someone heard this and wasn't thinking of these topics or how they affect people, and now they are. And if that's the case, that's awesome and you're appreciated. Thank you again for listening. Again, like I said at the beginning of the show, I wanted to make this a weekly podcast. However, I am going in for surgery a week from today. They're going to remove my right mandible. Like, they're going to remove my jawbone because there's a tumor in it. And they're going to replace it with a new jaw, which they're going to reconstruct out of my fibula, which is a bone in my leg. So whether you want to call it sticking my foot in my mouth or like any of those is fine, but I'm looking at like a month of like recovering and all that fun stuff. So hopefully I can speak, hopefully I can at least kind of post something to update folks in regards to the podcast, but if not, this is why. So thanks again for tuning in. Have an awesome rest of your week. And again, if you have the Anchor app, you're always, always, always welcome to call in. Even if I'm not live on air, you can do a call-in. Or if you want to contribute in somehow, if you want to contribute somehow to the podcast, if you have something you want to say, you can find me on basically every major social media platform. So hit me up if you have something to say. I am more than happy to present opposing point of views or similar point of views if you just have something you want to say. Thanks again, and hopefully I will have more to say next week.